Family gender roles are converging, according to a new survey from the Pew Research Center. Fathers have more than doubled the time they spend on housework. More moms are paid to work outside the home. We'll talk about these gender role changes and welcome your questions and experiences. Have you found a fair distribution of duties in your home? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 26th. Have the gender roles in your family become more equal? What would you change if you could change anything about the responsibilities of work and family? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Philip Cohen, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. He blogs at familyinequality.com. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So what from this Pew survey stood out to you most?
Well, I've been looking at this kind of thing for a while, so I went right to things that I usually look at. But I think you hit the main points, which are the convergence of roles between mothers and fathers. So they look in this survey at hours spent in housework and childcare, as well as paid work, and sort of looking at the division. To foreshadow my own concerns, most of the change we're looking at happened a while ago. That doubling you mentioned in the intro was of men's father's time in housework was over by 1985.
Oh, really?
So it doubled from 65 to 85. Since then, we're quite flat. So I'd be very interested to hear what your listeners see happening in their lives. But I think for those of us who are looking at this from year to year, this study does a nice job on the long-term trends, and we're pretty concerned about the medium-term trends.
Yeah. So, well, let's. What led to the increase in working women and more men sharing in household and childcare duties?
Well, I think probably as we look back at it, the biggest impetus was the feminist movement and the changes in the economy that coincided with that, which increased the job opportunities in the kind of work that women were already associated with. So, education, social services, and healthcare, especially those increased the opportunities in those areas increased at the same time that women were applying pressure to enter the labor force and increase their opportunities, and that really gave us the biggest bump upward in terms of women's opportunities, and that I think is what triggered the changes within families. That's what drives equality between men and women, and it's partly by changing attitudes and partly by shifting the power of in the negotiations.
Yeah, there was a time there, wasn't there, when more women were working full time outside the home and doing the full time housework and childcare.
Yes, well, the peak of women, of mothers' employment was actually about 2000, and that's when we had the highest number of women with young children at home who were also working full time. It's tapered off some since then. I think it mostly lost momentum. But if you look back at that, so in their figure, they've got about 80% of women with children at home were in the labor force about 2000, and it's come down a little bit since then. But very dramatic change. If you look back 3 decades, it was, 50%. So yeah, it's a very big change.
So things haven't changed much since the mid-80s, you're saying?
On some things, the women's employment rates kept going up until about 2000. The equality between men and women in housework really has not moved much since then, since the mid-80s. I think the biggest change was really in the workforce, as far as in terms of the occupations that women got access to, entering into management and professional occupations, and that progress continued into the 90s and sort of slowed or stalled since then.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, but I think you're right to focus also on how far we have come.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can talk about how far we have to go, too.
Right, exactly.
And does this look as though family gender roles have converged to the point of being 50-50, or is that not the case?
No. I mean, I think what we it's things have gotten close enough that it's within striking distance for some people, and we do see something of a small movement of people who are very devoted to the 50-50 concept and are attempting to implement that to varying degrees of success, but it's certainly not the normal experience. And partly, as the report shows, women are more prefer to work part-time than full-time, a lot of women, and partly that's partly because of the opportunities they have and the experience they have once they try to balance a full-time job and their children, given, no offense to their husbands, the amount their husbands contribute at home.
Yeah. Well, your blog is familyinequality.com. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean?
Well, on the blog, I focus on inequality within families, so things like we're talking about, the division of labor between husbands and wives or men and women in other situations, and also inequality sort of between families and family types. You know, the gay marriage is going to the Supreme Court today. One thing I've been looking at a lot has been the differences in sort of rights and privileges and status and material things also between people who are married and not married or children without families. There's all kinds of everything having to do with inequality has to do with families. There's no shortage of topics.
Yeah. So is it realistic to think that marriages can be truly equal, the duties in a family?
Yes, I think it's realistic. I don't think we're there. I don't think it's realistically happening. But it's certainly realistic to imagine it. It's realistic for people to try to do that if that's what they want to do. I think there are a lot of the main problem with that is the barrier to getting there is the inequality between men and women in other areas outside the family. So we still have a lot of inequality in the labor market, in politics, and in the highest echelons of corporations and so on. And so there's just not the ground is not yet laid for that kind of equality within families.
So how does the inequality outside the home affect the equality inside the home?
Well, like I mentioned, one way is simply in the bargaining power of husbands and wives. And most people don't negotiate this explicitly, but you can think of it as sort of a conditioning thing that affects everybody sort of whether they know it or not, which is what are the options that people have? What's the how viable is the threat to walk out on the marriage in the worst case? And also, even if men and women or spouses are completely cooperative, if one of them has a higher earning potential than the other, then the rational thing for the family to do may be to divide the labor so that the higher earning one is doing the more income generating work. That's very reasonable and rational, except that it leaves the woman usually in a more vulnerable position if the marriage does end or if the relationship becomes less cooperative or more conflictual and all of a sudden she has been out of the labor force for a while or her earnings are less and she may find herself stuck or dependent or unable to act on her desire to get out.
Our guest is Philip Cohen, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. We're talking about a new survey from the Pew Research Center that finds traditional gender roles are converging in our homes and our workplaces. Dads are doing more childcare and more housework. Moms are paid for more for working outside the home. The survey notes that neither has overtaken the other in traditional terms, but this does mark a big change over the past century. We are talking about gender role equality or inequality and wonder if you think your family has found the right mix. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What would it take to make things better for your family? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered flurries. High temperatures will be in the mid to upper 30s. It is 18 minutes past 6 o'clock now on this Tuesday, March the 26th. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up later on the Ideas Network, it's At Issue with John Munson. 10 years after the start of the war in Iraq, the conflict between Sunni and Shia Muslims there is becoming increasingly violent, and that violence is beginning to spread across the region. John Munson and his guest will look at that coming up after 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about gender roles and wondering if your family gender roles have changed over the years, and talking about what all this means, what still needs to be done, welcoming your experiences. Are you the primary breadwinner of your household? Does your spouse maybe work part-time outside the home? Does someone spend more time with the children in your family? How did you work this out? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Philip Cohen, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. And Gail on Facebook says, our 30-year marriage has been pretty Ward and June Cleaver-like. I worked very part-time while the four kids grew up, and I have been blessed to have kept those hours since the kids have been out of the house. I really enjoyed being home with the kids, kept busy with volunteer work, PTA, Girl Scout leader, church stuff. Never had a job that I loved as much as being a housewife. I guess that makes me old-fashioned. So what do you think, Professor Cohen? Is Gail old-fashioned?
Well, yeah, she is old-fashioned in terms of the trends where things are going. But, you know, social change doesn't happen by flipping a switch and everybody different or ever different. One of the things that I think she points out is she says that being a housewife has been the best job she's had. And the Pew survey does find that mothers without jobs are happier than mothers with jobs. Now, that doesn't mean that they're happy because they don't have jobs. It may be that mothers with the opportunity to make that choice are happier, and it may mean that a lot of women, especially women without good job opportunities, have jobs they don't like that much, or jobs that make their work-life balance very difficult, let's say. So there certainly is, given the choices people have, you know, they find their way in a variety of ways, and that division of labor where one spouse works outside the home and one works inside the home is the thing that a lot of people still do enjoy.
Yeah. I noted from the survey that one question asked men and women about what kind of a job, you know, was important to them. And men said the high-paying job was important to them. That, you know, working full-time at a high-paying job was, I guess, a priority, whereas the priority for women was a job that had a flexible schedule.
Right. Well, that partly may reflect sort of how people are raised and what they sort of really believe, and it partly also may reflect how they are reacting to their actual environments. If you have divided the labor in your household so that the husband's job is to earn more money and the wife's job is to do more housework and childcare, it would make sense that he would say the most important part of his job is having a high-paying job, and she would not. You know, I think when that opportunity structure changes, you see those attitudes change after the fact. One thing that we've seen in there's a really interesting book called The For the Family, by Sarah Damasky that came out recently, and one of the things she found was a lot of women who had, when they were in high school, imagined that they would not be full-time workers, ended up changing their minds and being lifelong full-time workers even after they had children. And the reason was because their opportunities were better than they had imagined. So they ended up with jobs in like legal secretaries and computer programmers, business analysts, things that they probably hadn't imagined would be fulfilling and well-rewarded when they were in high school describing their plans for life. But once they got in the workforce and they found good jobs, those plans changed.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the work-life balance. The survey showed that more than half of moms and dads struggle with work-life balance, feeling as though they haven't found the right mix, feeling very stressed. Any surprise over this?
No, and I think one of the good things in the survey, I think, when we think about children, is that parents are mothers and fathers continue to increase the amount of time they spend in childcare each week, and part of what's happening, I think, is there's been a cultural shift sort of towards a more what we call intensive parenting, that more more time intensive activities with children as a good thing. But I think partly that reflects people's insecurity. As inequality has widened between rich and poor, parents are very aware of the risk that their children face out there, and I think they're partly are ratcheting up the time investments because they're afraid of their children ending up on the wrong side of the rich-poor divide. And so it's not it may be good for children that people are spending more time with them, but it partly is out of fear and insecurity.
Well, let's ask our listeners, are you spending more time with your children? Are you struggling over this work-life balance issue? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking about this Pew Research Center survey on gender roles, converging gender roles, and how men and women in families are spending their time. How are you spending your time? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, so Professor Cohen, what needs to be fixed? What do we need to work on?
Well, I think, you can't engineer all of society even if you have great ideas. We had a certain constellation of events in the 60s and 70s that were both political and cultural and economic. I guess that's more than both. That's three things. So it's hard to put that back together even if you wanted to. But I think what we learned from the progress out of that period was there was a strong cultural push. And I think that's important for people to think about and talk about and see how they can move themselves and their workplaces and their communities more in the direction of equality, assuming that's what they want. But I think there are also political and legal changes that we could make that would have a beneficial effect, especially for gender equality and work-life balance. And I can think of a few that have come up recently. One is we're very behind other developed countries in the world on child care. Child care in the United States is relatively expensive. The quality is very uneven. It's subsidized for some people, but there are a lot of people who have a hard time affording it and affording quality child care. If we invested more money in child care, I think, and if we found a way to do that was politically tenable, where everybody could believe that was something that was benefiting even people who don't have children, if people's children are grown, and so on. I think we would find children doing better, families less stressed, and also the inequality between men and women potentially improve because of the time demands and drain that this mostly applies to women.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that in a minute. We have Ellen in Mount Horeb with us now. Hello, Ellen.
Good morning. I'd like for the guest to address the fact that we often hear these statistics talked about in terms of working mothers, but I think that women who work outside the home who don't have children also face the same challenges in terms of work-life balance and also, the inequality or balance of work inside the home.
Thank you. I think that's an excellent point. And you know, of course, some fathers have work-life balance, mm-hmm. challenges also. But it's really true. I mean, the labor force can be very impersonal, and the experience of women is often based on the assumption that employers consider them a risk for having children, even if they don't, or they're in a female-dominated occupation or workplace, which has evolved over time around the notion that the people who work there are mothers, and the truth is, Even without gender discrimination, we have a very hard time putting together the full package of support that people need in jobs that are anything but the highest paid. So I think that's a very good point.
Thank you, Ellen. Mark in Hibbing, Minnesota. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so, you know, I was just thinking, I mean, I'm all for the equalities and bringing together kind of some sharing roles as husband and wife with my wife, but I couldn't help but also feel that being a provider for my family is something I cherish, and I feel it's almost something primitive inside of me, something that, you know, looking back at it, you know, if you look at it from, like, I guess, like the caveman time, men have always been kind of that provider role and for their families, and you know, I don't know. I just feel like there's something internal inside of me that wants to be that provider, that wants to take that role and responsibility. And I feel it's special also. And, you know, not that I'm against moving and being more equal in this role, but I also feel like we're also trying to take something away by just saying, well, you know, let's switch roles almost. I don't know. I'm just curious to what our guest speaker has to say about that.
Professor Cohen?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's really true about caveman times, that men were the providers and women were, what, decorating the cave?
Yeah, we're gathering, I think, weren't we?
Right. Well, everybody did a lot of work just to get by in those days. The point is well taken that it feels very basic and personal, and that's the way tradition is. And the tradition is the thing that you know how to do without having to explain, and you don't need a reason why. But the truth is, once people start questioning it, you do need a reason why. You'll see in the gay marriage debate the argument that traditional marriage should be the only kind of marriage because it's traditional doesn't really hold up to logic. So it's hard to argue with it, but I think once the inequalities associated with this come out, it's very hard to sustain that.
We're talking with Philip Cohen, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. He blogs at familyinequality.com. And we are talking about gender roles and work-life balance in our families today. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Are you a mom who works full-time outside the home? Why or why not? Does your husband share equally in the child care and housework duties? Do you have conflict over these gender roles? Or have you worked things out? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, March 26th. We are talking about converging gender roles in families because a new Pew Research Center survey on time use shows fathers have more than doubled the amount of time they spend on housework, and almost a quarter of single earner families have women as the sole breadwinner. We are talking with a sociologist about how family gender roles are converging and what this means, and welcoming your experiences at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Philip Cohen, a professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. He blogs at familyinequality.com. John emails, what is the proportion of fathers who are primary caregivers? That is, mother has a full-time job and father is at home full or part-time. All right, so do we know that, Professor Cohen?
Well, the Census Bureau has a way of estimating this, which is quite conservative, which is if the father has been out of the labor force for an entire year and the mother is working full-time and the reason the father is out of the labor force, he says, is to take care of his family, then you're in the realm of about 2%. If you you know, if you have the little bit looser definition and you count fathers who, well, maybe they're kind of looking for a job, but while they're doing it, you can get up to 5-8%. So that's a significant number of people, but it is not approaching,
No, that's very actually. Right. That's I don't know why that's smaller than I
right.
thought. I've embarrassed my sister and my brother-in-law before on this program, so I'll do it again. They had this kind of a division of household labor going on, and my sister had a full-time job. She was the primary breadwinner. With the two small children in the home, her husband became the primary caregiver. He did do a little bit of like handyman work outside the home, but when the kids were in school, and always made sure he was, you know, back by the time the kids got back from school, that sort of thing. And it was, I guess it was unusual at the time, but this was, we're talking the 1980s when this was happening. This isn't happening very much.
See, what that guy has a part-time job, so he would not qualify.
Oh, okay.
But that's interesting. So that is unusual enough and feels different enough if she is working more and earning more that it seems like the fact that he is prioritizing his work around the children's schedule is really what is the most important thing there. But I think there's a big change in not so much the numbers of completely stay-at-home dads, but there is a change in the attitude towards the father's role. And I think that's very positive, especially for creating momentum for future change. The Pew survey found about half of fathers said they spent too little time with their children compared to a little less than a quarter of mothers. Of course, they are spending less time with their children. But the fact that they would subjectively describe it as too little really shows, I think, that a lot of fathers are imagining or have an ideal vision of themselves spending more time with their kids. And that could be good for balance in the future.
Yeah. What about the census data that shows there are a historic number of female breadwinners, 23%?
Mm-hmm. The way they describe that is breadwinner just means the wife is earning of couples where they're both working, the wife has more higher income than the husband. In many of those, most of those, the husband is employed also. It makes sense, especially among lower income families where men's job opportunities have not improved as much as women's, where wages have stagnated. A lot of people have lost jobs or been laid off for periods of time. As men and women have moved closer together in equality in the labor market, we do have many more cases where the wife is earning equal or more. It's usually not in the old-fashioned 50s way of 100 to nothing. It's usually more like 60-40, 55-45.
Yeah. So how many are as lucky as I am in that my husband and I, you know, make equal money, we work equally long hours, we don't have children, and he does all of the housework?
Not many.
I'm very lucky. Lori emails, I went back to work after my husband was laid off, and I stayed there. I still get my house child duties done, and I work. I chuckled when my husband said, I am so happy to go back to work and not have the responsibility of homemaker. He said it was too hard. Comment on that?
we do find that employed wives definitely do more housework than employed husbands. So there's a strong traditional component to how husbands and wives divide the labor, even when the paid work balance has shifted.
Amanda on Facebook says, struggling right now with a sick kid and no sick leave left because I was forced to use my sick days for maternity leave. The U.S. is way behind other countries when it comes to child rearing leave for mothers and fathers. How about that?
Well, it's really true, and also sick leave. We don't have a government protected right to sick leave from our jobs. And again, you know, even if the pay gap is only small between a husband and wife, the rational thing for the family to do in that case may be to send the wife home. You have to, I mean. Every developed country has more parental leave guaranteed and paid in most cases compared to the United States. And that should be something which jars us into thinking seriously about that policy. But you also have to be careful. In some countries, they're doing it to try to promote more childbearing because they have low fertility rates. So they have long parental leaves, like years, like in Austria or Germany, very long parental leaves that mostly are the mothers taking years and years off. And it may be what some of them want. On the other hand, it really reinforces the traditional gender roles, which is partly the point. She says, and fathers. There have been countries, thinking of Norway, where they really have tried to encourage both mothers and fathers to take parental leave. There's some leave that a couple gets that only the father can take. And it's an interesting, it's still in the category of experiment, but I think we're definitely seeing some positive results.
Yeah, and as for our policies on family leave or parental leave, it's in most cases you have to work in a company with 50 or more employees, and then it's unpaid leave in many cases.
Yes. Unpaid, the guarantee is, the federal guarantee is only unpaid leave, 12 weeks, and you have to have been working there for a year, and the Supreme Court has said it doesn't apply to state government employees, and it's less than half the labor force is covered by the unpaid leave guarantee. It's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, and as for sick leave, I know that we've been having some communities in Wisconsin trying to get mandatory sick leave established, and it's a big fight.
It's one of those things where the role of government is not just to take over and run everybody's lives, but actually to level the playing field so that those employers that are trying to treat their employees better don't end up at a competitive disadvantage. If it's required for all employers, then nobody loses from doing it, at least in theory.
Yeah, do we know in terms of traditional gender roles in the mom and dad household, if women are expected to stay home with sick kids more than men?
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
I mean, it's partly because women are more likely to be doing more childcare, and it feels right to people, and it's partly because the wife has the less lucrative job. It's the smart decision.
Our guest is Philip Cohen, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. We are talking about converging gender roles according to a new Pew Research Center survey, and we're welcoming your questions and we're welcoming your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Have the gender roles in your family become more equal? Do you think you've come up with a good mix of duties? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, about 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 26th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, this is not a joke. This is not an early April Fool's joke, but a state lawmaker is working on a bill that would allow for the hunting of groundhogs. Yes, that's right. No, this is not in retaliation for the wrong predictions for an early spring. Our state lawmaker guest after 7 o'clock says there's no need to keep groundhogs or woodchucks on the state's protected species list. And he is working on a bill to allow people to hunt them. We'll hear from him after 7, and then we will hear from a guest who is a critic of this legislation after 7:30. Right now we are talking about how family gender roles are converging and what this means. This new poll from Pew, the Pew Research Center, shows that fathers are spending more time on housework and child care than they did at least a century ago or a half century ago, and almost a quarter of single earner families have women as the sole breadwinner. We're talking about how this is affecting society, and we're welcoming your questions and experiences. Our next caller is Angela in Waukesha. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Joey. Love your show. I wanted to comment on what we've been talking about, and I have that experience. I'm a full-time working mom. I had a baby last year, and I only got 6 weeks for maternity leave, which I'm still upset about, and it was because I wasn't at my company long enough. My husband only works part-time, And so he is home with the baby more than I am. And I find that also pretty upsetting because as a mom, I would like to be home more. So I find that that is a conflict in our household, too.
Yeah, so they don't have it the way they want it, Professor Cohen.
Well, I think that is a something that you do see in the survey is time conflict, dissatisfaction, and wishing a variety of things are different across the spectrum. A lot of people also say they're quite happy in the survey, and people can be happy even in difficult circumstances. But I think this is a case where a longer protected parental leave might have allowed this family to structure things the way they wanted to.
Yeah. So maybe a longer, better parental leave policies. We talked in our first half hour about different child care policies might help families work these things out. Was there anything else in terms of a policy that would make things better, Professor Cohen?
Well, one thing is a little bit, I'll just mention, it's a little off our subject and out of my expertise, but actually our healthcare system creates some of the problems here, where both financial problems and time problems come from the juggling that people need to do to take care of sick people and the financial problems that entails. But I should stay off that. One other thing on work-family is we have at the high end of our labor market in the professional and managerial sectors, we have a lot of what we're starting to call overwork, that is people working substantially more than 40 hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
And for salaried employees, that's not there's nothing wrong with that legally, and you don't have to pay them more. But that is one area where we could also, with incentives for, well, I guess you'd have to find a way to pay those people extra to make employers not want them to do that. But in some of our rival countries around the world, work fewer extra hours than we do among our upper middle class people, and that's one area where we could also make some improvement, I think.
Mallory on Facebook says, it's a yin-yang. That doesn't mean that women cook and men are the breadwinners, although that's fine if it works out for one situation. But by no means should one be judged if it's the opposite. Each person's situation is unique and shouldn't be critiqued if it's not the norm. Is that right, Professor Cohen? Should we not care about
if,
people?
If it's consensual and nobody's hurting anybody else, you know, far be it from me to judge somebody's the way they arrange things. I think where I get concerned is when the choices people make are too constrained by external forces, so that they don't really have the options they would like to have.
Yeah, Denise in Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Denise.
Hi. Good morning. I have a situation where I have always been the primary breadwinner in the house. It was a conscious decision that my husband and I made. He's an immigrant, and he had always been self-employed, and that was a little bit more difficult to do here in the United States, and I had a corporate job. So we've always been in that situation, and he's a wonderful caregiver for my children, and he takes care of everything in the house. But the challenge that I have is, even though I've tried to share the responsibilities with the money and we go over the budget together, deep down I believe he has this resentment that I control the money, and he throws that at me every once in a while, you know, when we have disagreements. And I was wondering if the professor has any recommendations or guidance of how I can deal with that.
Well, I try to avoid personal advice, but I think it is interesting. You know, I think this is something that sort of traditional couples would experience also, where if one person has control over the finances and the other one has control over the less tangible parts of the relationship, but that seems sort of inevitable. So I'm not sure if avoiding that conflict is really possible. It is interesting when it may come with a special extra baggage when it also feels like it's not normal. But the truth is, you know, in that kind of division, it seems like that kind of conflict is at least there's a high risk, if not inevitable.
Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly what Denise feels like, since my husband does work full-time outside the home as well, and we don't have the children, but I jokingly said that he does most of the housework, and that's because he's a clean freak, but I also do most of the, I do most of the bills and the finances of the household, and I don't think he feels insecure at all. It's just that that's the duty I take, and I'm not in charge of the money, but I'm wondering if maybe some men are insecure with, you know, that if they're not in the traditional role as the primary breadwinner, that somehow they're feeling insecure that they're not making the most money.
Yes, is the short answer for sure. And we have seen some traces of that even in the time use data where, for example, there's some tendency among men who have lost their jobs to apparently refuse to do housework because the logic is, or what it looks like from that data is, that they have lost their status in one arena and they would, you know, don't want to lose it at home also.
Mm-hmm.
These are difficult issues when there's a strong cultural norm that you're up against.
Eileen in Madison is with us. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think, I'm not sure if my situation is a little bit different, but I work full-time and my husband works part-time, and we share the responsibility of caring for my child all the time. We don't do daycare, so we do opposite schedules. But what this has meant was that we don't see each other a lot, and I think a lot of our friends, but we've been working on that with changing our schedules around, and I think a lot of our friends may not understand how why we choose to do this, because it does mean that we see less of our friends and we don't have any family available, so it's harder, you know, to get a babysitter. So I think that when you do try to even out the playing field with gender roles in regards to child care, or not child care, but watching your own child, that does have a lot more, I guess, maybe issues attached to it, because you are trying to make things a little bit more even, and the dad doesn't get to, you know, have those traditional maybe father roles of, like, you know, he's at home and he doesn't get a chance to go out a lot, and
right.
I don't either, but right. It works for us, and we're very, very thankful that we are able to do this for our family and our child. But I was wondering if there's anything out there about people who do try to keep it even and people who do child care without any outside help, and how does that change the family dynamics?
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking too. Sounds like you don't even see each other sometimes. I know couples like that too, where they'll switch schedules to take over the child rearing. Professor Cohen, any impact on the family because of that?
Well, that was one of the first indications that we saw, actually, starting in the 80s, were the first data on this. Couples working split shifts as a way to share housework and childcare, or at least as a consequence of that, they ended up sharing housework and childcare more equally. It's hard to know, you know, exactly how deliberate a strategy this was. Certainly now we have lots of evidence of people doing this deliberately, and partly, you know, this goes back to the difficulties of finding a high-quality, affordable childcare. I think that there are stresses associated with this, mostly from the shift work and working on odd hours, which is, you know, is very difficult for a lot of people. But the sharing aspect of it may be a positive benefit.
We have just a minute left. Do you see family life becoming more equal in the near future, and does it matter?
I would say no, not in the near future. I don't see any big forces for change right now. A lot of people talking about it. I think that's positive. I think we're a ways from having another big push like we had in the 60s and 70s. I think it matters because, well, you can hear from the callers. So people are struggling to make things work without the supports that I think they need.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Philip Cohen, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. He blogs at familyinequality.com. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. By the way, tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk about owls. and the great gray owl that is making an appearance in southern Wisconsin, and other owls. That's tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.